looking, where are those who are supposed to wait for him? Then he phones Israel. And they tell him in the office, you know, just an hour ago, we got a phone from Japan. And they were very angry. They says they came, they sent one of the managers to the airport with a driver. And they expected to see a guy that comes with a suit, with a tie, to honor them. And instead, you sent this, this schlepper. On the spot, the guy left, and sorry to tell you, we don't do business with people like you. No honor, no business. So in other words, we see that clothes are important. Imagine to yourself that a policeman will go around without uniform. An officer in the army will go without his ranks. How do you know how to make the difference? So you need clothes. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us, a Talmid Chacham that's got dirt on his clothes, mitchayev mita. Unbelievable. Why? Because as a Talmid Chacham, you represent the Torah. And as you represent the Torah, you should look. Exactly, you should look nice.
That's why you have good dress clothes going to Beth Mess.
Exactly, the same thing. When you come to shul, you cannot come with dirty clothes to shul. You have to come dressed nicely because you're going to stand in front of the King of all kings, the Almighty. So you have to be dressed accordingly. If the Queen of England will invite you to the palace, they will send you a code of what you have to wear exactly and how you should walk and where you should stand. Would anybody dare to come to the Queen of England with jeans and sandals? So clothes are very important. But you have to put it in the right proportion. If you wear a clothes of a rabbi, it doesn't make you a rabbi. But if you're a rabbi without a clothes of a rabbi, it means that you don't honor your job. That's why the Torah starts again with a pure, pure oil. Because the guy should be made of pure oil. And then he can become Kohen Gadol and wear those clothes. Those special clothes of Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol is one. Am Israel is one. But is one of... built from a lot of people. And the thing is that we have to understand the same way we see the Mishkan. A lot of time is the Asita, you should make this, and some of the things are with plural, and a lot of them are singular. The plural, when you see in the last parasha, is the Mishkan itself, Vehasu, you should all make it. And also the Aaron, the ark that holds the Torah. Because the Torah belongs to everybody, and the Mishkan belongs to everybody. And all those details have one thing in common. They all have to be connected to one unit. But everybody has to put his share in. Because otherwise, the unit doesn't function. So, when we talk about details, and when we talk about one, the details have to be a part that combines and synchronizes like a puzzle. You have a puzzle and every piece of the puzzle is different. And the puzzle, you cannot just take one piece that has to be here and put it in another place. It wouldn't work. In other words, every piece of the puzzle is important in the right place. I don't have to look at the job of the others. I have to look at my job. They tell about Reb Zusha of Anipoli. Reb Zusha was the brother, was a great tzaddik of the Noam Elimelech. He was a great tzaddik. He was... Suddenly, one day they find him crying, sitting in his home and crying. So this guy asked him, Reb Zusha, why do you cry? says, I cry that when I come to heaven, they won't ask me, why haven't I been like Moshe Rabbeinu? So the guy says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Abzushe, with all due respect, you are a great rabbi, but you're not Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, exactly. They're not going to ask me this. They're going to ask me, why haven't you been Reb Zushe? Everybody's got a job. Everybody's got a potential. God is not going to ask you why you've been somebody else. He's going to ask you, why haven't you been yourself? You've got a potential, you have to use it. Sometimes somebody comes to heaven, he says, okay, what did you do? Oh, I've been a great rabbi, I had a yeshiva. No good. According to our books, you were supposed to be one of Dolei Ador, not a yeshiva. Be in charge of all Am Yisrael yeshivas. So you are in a no good situation. But the other side, somebody comes, okay, what did you do? I learned 10 pages of Gemara. Oh, very good. To heaven directly. You did more than you should, because your potential was 9 pages. But you did 10. So we cannot judge nobody, because you don't know what God gave him. As Moshe Rabbeinu was humble, why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told to himself, 1 minute, I am Moshe Rabbeinu. I know that I am great. I'm not great. The greatest is not mine. It's from God. If God would have chosen somebody else to give him the greatness, he would be much greater than me. That's humbleness, to understand that whatever we got is from God, nobody else. Now a parsha. The name of Moshe Rabbeinu is not there. And the whole parsha is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. You should order. Who? Moshe Rabbeinu. And then you should take him closer. Who? Moshe Rabbeinu. The whole parsha. You look at it, you see, v'ata. Why is it written Moshe Rabbeinu? Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe. So many times we see it, and in our parsha, nothing. And the whole parsha is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Am Yisrael after the golden calf, says Moshe Rabbeinu, if you are destroying Am Yisrael, mark me out of the book. Mecheinina misifrecha asher katavta. And says, kilelat tzadik afilu al tnai. If a tzaddik says something, even if he did it by tnai, if somebody is going to happen, and even if it didn't happen, he said it, he has to get punished. It has to happen. So God says, okay, I'm going to wipe you out of one parasha. So he wiped him out of Parashat Etzaveh. Why Parashat Etzaveh? So people say, Parashat Etzaveh is in Zayin Be'adar. Zayin Be'adar is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died and Moshe Rabbeinu was born. By the way, when Haman Arasha did the Pur and it fell on Hadar, he was very happy. Because he said Hadar is the time when Moshe Rabbeinu died. So with Moshe Rabbeinu dying, the Emuna died, everything died, I'm going to win. But I didn't know that Moshe Rabbeinu also was born in Zayin Be'adar. But something else happened in our parsha. When Moshe Rabbeinu argued with God, when he sent him to Egypt, for 7 days he's arguing with God. 7 days. He says, Shlach bi'atishlach, send it with my brother. Says God, you know what? No problem. You were supposed to be Kohen Gadol also. You're not going to be Kohen Gadol. Your brother is going to be Kohen Gadol. And when is it happening? In our parsha. So the same parsha that is getting punished for one thing is also getting punished for the other thing. Like everything is together. But there is a very interesting idea here. Why is it so important that the parsha falls on the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died and was born? Because when we look at the Christians, for example, all the things they do is around the prophet. When he was born, what he was doing, where he was walking, what he was doing. Like, God is something on the side, and the important thing is this guy, Jesus. He is the God, he is everything. But here, with Am Yisrael, the prophet is important, of course, but he is nothing to compare to God. He's a human being. And we don't worship the prophet, we worship only God. That's why in the parsha that falls when he was born and died, no mentioning of the name of Moshe. To tell us, we are not like the goyim. By the way, if we go to Kivrot Tzadikim, a lot of people go to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, all the others, you should be very careful. You don't pray to the Tzadik. You pray to God. Because the place is Scott Holiness, the rites of the Tzadik, what he did, all those mitzvahs in his life, they are going to stand for you. But you don't pray to him, you pray to God. But you know, the Torah could have said, without mentioning the name of God, by the way, if we're already talking about mentioning the name of God, the name of Moshe Rabbeinu our Parsha, the truth is that it is mentioned. No, I want a piece of paper. It is mentioned. If you look, let's see if I can do it on here. Moshe. Doesn't work. Oh, what a paper. Okay. So look, when we write Moshe, okay, this is Moshe. Mem Shin Hei. Okay. Mem Shin Hei, when we want to see what's inside, in other words, Mem, you've got another Mem. Okay? When you say Mem, it's Mem and Mem. The inside that you don't see is Mem. Shin is Yud Nun. And Hei is Aleph, if you understand what I'm talking about. Mem Shin Hei. Okay? One minute. Now, if I take only what I don't see, what is this? And I take the numbers. Mem is 40. Yud is 10. Nun is 50. 60 and 40 is 100. And Aleph is 1. There are 101 psukim in our parsha. So the name of God is not there, but it's also there. You don't see it. It's 101 psukim in our parsha, and the inside of the letters of Moshe are 101. But there is another lesson here.
That's connected also to the Megillah.
Megillat Esther. Yes. Ve'ata tetzave. I can say tzave. You understand what I'm saying? The word ve'ata, we don't need it. We can say the same thing without the word ve'ata. Ve'tzivita. I said the same thing. Order. Why do I need ve'ata? And by the way, it's not once. It's a lot of times that in our parsha it's written ve'ata, and you can say the same thing without saying ve'ata. So what is the Torah trying to tell us? What is ve'ata? And you. And you, and you, and you, and you. It's not Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah is talking to. He's talking to each one of us. Ve'ata, ve'ata, ve'ata. We say, Moshe Rabbeinu is a great guy. Who can be Moshe Rabbeinu? Nobody asked you to be Moshe Rabbeinu. What did we say? You're being asked to be yourself. But when you do what you are being asked to, you are like Moshe Rabbeinu. Ve'ata, ve'ata, ve'ata. That's a great idea and lesson to learn from the Parsha. You see, when we read the Parsha, we have to understand the Parsha is not a story. And the Parsha has got a lot of depths. And the main basic thing is, what we try to do in our lessons, is to discuss what the Parsha is trying to tell us today. How should I behave according to the Parsha? And what the Parsha is trying to tell us, as we saw, when we want to learn Torah from somebody, it should be from pure oil. When we need to do something, don't say, I cannot do this. Ve'ata, ve'ata, each one of us got powers. And what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us, the only thing He wants, use the power I gave you. And it's all to become one. Because whatever you do as an individual, never forget that you are a part of Klal Am Yisrael. Because that's the main thing. And that's what Haman HaRasha couldn't understand. Haman HaRasha says, Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzar U'Meforad Ben Arim. There's one nation. They are all over. And they don't keep all the other religions. They keep to their own. Now, what was so aggravating to Haman HaRasha? They say years ago, the king of Syria, they wanted to take, to execute a Jew. And Ser Montefiore came from London to rescue, to pay for him ransom and to rescue him. And the king of Syria asked him, I don't understand, you have to explain to me. Do you think if somebody is going to be executed in China or in London or in anywhere, do you think I would go and save him? What do I care? So I don't understand. Why do you care about a Syrian guy being executed? He couldn't understand that Jews are connected. The Jews care for each other. The Rav Galinsky Zatzal tells a true story. In the time of the Second World War, he was running away. And when he was going on wherever he could take a train to go and, from place to place in order to get as far as can from the place of the war. And during those days, one day in the afternoon, he comes to the train station in Bukhara. And he's got no ticket to go on. And it's going to become night very soon. And if you're being caught in a time of war outside in the night, and if they found out you're Jewish, you're finished. He doesn't know what to do. In the end of the station, he sees an old guy shining shoes. Do you know in Jerusalem they used to have that? They don't see it so many anymore. But they are, you know, just shines your shoes. And he's got a feeling that maybe this guy is Jewish. But he's not sure. Now what is he going to do?
Talk to him.
Is he going to come and talk with him and ask him if the guy is not Jewish and he will hear what he's talking, or it could be costing me his life. So what did he do? He went near him and said very quietly, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Waiting to see what's happening. And the other guy, the old Bukhari, says, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Leolam Vaed. 11 days he stayed with this guy. They didn't know how to connect, no contact, because the Rav Galinsky didn't speak Bukhari, whatever it is, and this Bukhari didn't speak no Polish, no other, no Yiddish. What does he know? And with all, like, they're two different people from different environment, no connection, but they're Jews. He says, now, Rav Galinsky Zatzal said, I understand what the Haman HaRasha felt. Yeshno Am Echad, there is one nation spread all over, but they don't care. Normally, a nation that is being spread among other nations, in time, it mingles together and it's finished. But those people, Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar U'Meforad Ben Amim, they don't mingle. They keep their own Torah. And he couldn't stand it. Yeshno Am Echad. He couldn't stand this. And this is why he started the whole thing. That's the power of Am Yisrael. You see, normally, through history, a lot of big empires just vanished through history. When a big nation conquered another nation, it only was a matter of time when they become one. The nation that conquered the places and the other, the nation that was occupied. Only one nation. Nobody. Yes. Some of us, unfortunately, were how do you say, well, unfortunately, destroyed not physically. Physically, we know.
But astray, no.
Yes, they were lost among the goyim. Like in the States, they say that more than 60% of it bolilut.
That is assimilation.
Assimilation.
I think they say by 2040 or 2050, there won't be any Jewish people in the United States.
I know the funny thing is
because they'll all be in Israel.
Be'ezrat Hashem.
Hopefully.
Be'ezrat Hashem. You see, there is one promise that God promised. Am Israel, Chai v'kayam forever. Nobody can kill us. Nobody can finish us. We will always be here. The thing is that everything is a lesson to us. Because we're talking about Egypt. You know how many people went out of Egypt from the whole nation? 20%. 20%. 80% stayed in Egypt. With all the miracles.
Why did they do that? I can't understand that.
Because you see, when you are so mingled with a different society, especially when you think that they've got something that you want to be like them. You see, the Reform movement, how did it start? They looked at the goyim. They say, why? We cannot live with them if we are different. That's what Haman Rasha wanted. It didn't work. So what should we do? He says, you be Jew in your home, and outside you be a goy. In other words, you want to keep mitzvahs? Do it at home. But outside you have to look like all the others. Behave like them. So what did they do? But you know, we have a problem. We talk all the time in our Siddur about Zion, Israel, Israel. Okay, take out Israel. No Israel. You know, a few years ago they wanted in Temple Emmanuel in New York, this is the first temple of the Reform movement, they wanted to do a celebration of 50 years or 100 years, I don't remember how many years, and they were looking for the third generation of the Jews that built the shul in order to bring them to the celebration. They looked all around, couldn't find one Jew. One Jew, third generation, one Jew couldn't find. Because when you start opening, and if it's not from pure oil, that's what happens. So, Baruch Hashem, from the other side, there will always be people that know to go with the pure oil. But the lesson for us is to be careful. If we want our children and great or our grandchildren and great great grandchildren to go in our ways, we have to understand that if we don't give them the pure oil, if we do adjustments and try to be like the goyim, you cannot do this. It doesn't work. We are Jewish. We have to go according to our laws. That's what held us all the years. And that's what Haman or Russia couldn't stand. You see this nation, we try to do whatever we can. We cannot go against them. They just are a nation by itself. That's the greatest of Am Yisrael. And it's all being built from the connection to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, from the connection to the Torah. That's when we say, Ve'asuli mikdash v'shachanti betocham. You should build a temple, but I will dwell among you. It's not the building. It's what we are inside. And in our parsha it happens. Where is it? Venikdashti betoch bnei Israel. Where is it written? Veshachanti betoch bnei Israel. Exactly what's written in the last parasha. Ve'asuli mikdash veshachanti betocham. Veshachanti betoch bnei Israel vayiti lahem le'elokim. We can talk a lot about our parsha. There are a lot of things to talk. If it's the... You know, this is one of the parts. Like this is a sample to what's going to happen in Sefer VaYikra. You know, a lot of people, the Darshan in the talk, don't like Sefer VaYikra because it's all a book that talks about sacrifices and things, and people just don't realize that there are so many things to talk about because every details here. Every detail's got a meaning. As we saw, we were talking, let's say, we can take that all this shiur was really on the first pasuk, on the pure oil. And you can go on talking about it. And we connect to the other parts of the pasuk, and connect to Purim, and connect to everything. The thing is that Purim, what is Purim about? What is the idea? What is Haman HaRasha really? What is Amalek? We're going to say, Zachor et asher asa lecha Amalek. What is Amalek saying? Amalek is saying everything is by accident, everything is natural. Yeah, it's, and we say everything is from God. And we have to fight it because it's very easy that we can get into this because you go around the street, you live this life and you think that all those people, they really control things. Nobody controls anything, only God. That's the meaning of Asuli Mikdash V'Shachamti B'Tocham. If we understand, if we connect to God, then we do the right thing. Aaron HaKohen, Moshe Rabbeinu, Mordechai, Ish Yehudi Aya B'Shushan, was a Jewish guy in Shushan. Was only one Jewish guy in Shushan?
No.
Why is he called Jewish guy? Ish Yehudi Aya B'Shushan, like he is the only Jewish guy in Shushan?
This went down to Haman, because Haman had an idol on his belt.
And? So why is he called Ish Yehudi? Only he.
Because Esther was there and he didn't bow down and he acted like a Jew.
So, in other words, he was proud being Jewish and he didn't go to worship idols. He showed everybody that he is against it and that is Ish Yehudi. All the others turned their head around, don't know what he did. Or even bow to the idol. Only Mordechai. Lo yichra velo yishtachave. From the other side, Haman HaRasha. We have to understand the idea of Haman HaRasha. You say Chodesh Adar is a month of a big, how do you say, a big will, you want things. It's a month that you want a lot of things, that you can get a lot of things. But the thing is, you can get Haman or you can get Mordechai. You have to choose. There's a choice. If you decide everything is by accident, you go with the nature, okay, I enjoy life, I do what I eat, I drink, I do all the natural things, everything is natural, I control my life. That's Haman. That's Amalek. Zachor et asher asa amalek, should remember. Doesn't work like this. But we can choose Mordechai. Mordechai is taking the spirit and uplifting it and using the daily life. God doesn't ask us to suffer. You know, the Christian, they think to be holy means to get out of the normal life. They don't marry. They don't bring children to the world. They have this place where they don't talk. They have all those strange things. By the way, they're all from the outside, the inside is all rotten, but we're not talking about this. But Judaism is all the opposite. God tells us, you take whatever I create and you use it. You get married, you bring children, you eat, you drink, you party, you do everything. But you put to everything the holiness, the spiritual stuff. That's your job. What is man? Man is built from an ashama, which is from up there, and a body that's from down here. That's the combination of the spirit and the material. That's the spirit, that's the earth and heaven. That's how we build, and that is our job, to connect heaven and earth, to connect the spiritual part with the physical part. Just a few minutes to talk about like a few parts of the Megillah that like we always ask, why do we put masks on ourselves in Purim? What is Venafoch? So a few words on the Megillah. The Megillah, we know Haman HaRasha, We know he hates Mordechai, and we build a tree to hang Mordechai on the tree. Okay. He goes to the king. He wants to ask the king, Ahasuerus, to hang Mordechai on the tree prepared for him. The same night, the king couldn't sleep. He calls the people, his guys, his servants, read me the book of memories. They read the book of memories. They open the page where? Mordechai saved the king. Mordechai knew 70 languages because he was the head of the Sanhedrin. And one of the qualifications of being a part of the Sanhedrin is knowing 70 languages. So he heard those two servants talking that they want to kill the king. And he told Esther to tell the king. And he was saved. So the king asked, what is being done good to Mordechai? What is being done good to Mordechai? So they say, nothing. By the way, the Rav Yitzchak Ben Shenzatzal says, nothing was the reward. You know, they let the Jew go out of the palace alive, didn't take his possession and didn't put him in a concentration camp. That's enough. That's our reward. But really, the king asks, what's being done? He says, nothing. He says, they hear the noise in the yard. Says, who mi b'chatzer? Says, Haman Arasha ba. Haman Arasha is there. Okay, Haman. He came to ask the king to hang Mordechai. So the king, let him in. Vayavo Haman. And Haman comes in and says, Haman, tell me, what do you think? What should I do to somebody who I want his favor? I want to give him a reward. Haman Arasha automatically thinks, who would want the king to do? Me! My dear king, giving the crown of the king, giving the clothes of the king, giving the horse that the king was riding on, the king tells him, this guy thinks I'm stupid. That's what he thinks. Ah, okay. He's got something waiting for him. He says, very good idea. What you said right now, go and do to Mordechai Yehudi. And the king knows that Haman and Mordechai are not exactly very good friends. Okay, Haman goes to Mordechai, comes to Mordechai is with this sack. Says, okay, put the clothes on of the king and let's go. Says, what do you mean? I would put the clothes of the king with the dirty body, with the sack on me. I have to wash. I have to have a haircut. Look at my hair. So he goes around to look for a place to wash Mordechai. Hester Amalka the same day gave an order. All the barber shops in Shushan and all the places where you take a bath, how do you call it? Bet Merchatz in English? In Bet Merchatz? Bathhouse?
Public bathhouse.
Yes, public bathhouse being shut down, closed. So he goes around, says, everything is closed. He says, what am I going to do? Everything is closed. Come back to Mordechai. He says, Mordechai, I'm sorry, everything. He says, what do you want from me? Open. Go take a key and open. So Haman Arasha goes, open one of those bathhouses, and he washes Mordechai. His good friend. After he finished washing Mordechai, 1 minute here, do here, and here also, and here. Oh, and he's really humiliated, but that's not the end. He says, okay, now what's with my hair? He says, what do you mean hair? All the barbershop I closed. But I never, no, I cannot wear the crown of the king with the hair like this. You know, and the Haman Arasha in years before, he was a barber. He says, I know that you were a barber. There was a thing between him, but we haven't got time to go into it. Anyway, he says, I know you've been a barber. So I'm sure that in your house you have somewhere the scissors and everything, your tools. Go and take them and give me a haircut. So Haman Arasha, what does he do? Now the king ordered, you have to do it. He went and he cuts his hair. After he cuts his hair, okay, now you are, Baruch Hashem, washed, had a haircut. Put the clothes on. Says, no problem. Help me. Put the clothes on. Now go on the horse. Says, the horse is very high. Cannot get there. Bend. So Haman Arasha bends and he walks on him and goes on the horse. Okay. Now they go on a horse and now Haman Arasha thinks to himself, boy, what am I going to do? I'm going to be a laughing stock of the whole town. Everybody's going to see me taking my enemy on the horse. Suddenly he saws the sack on the floor, says, I've got an idea. I'm going to wear the sack. And this way, I'm going to walk. Everybody's going to be sure that the one with the sack is Mordechai, and the one on the horse is Haman, is me. What a great idea. Okay, he goes. Unfortunately, it doesn't work like this. As we sing, Shoshanat Yaakov, Tza'ala V'Samecha, Birotam Yachad, Techelet Mordechai. When they saw Techelet Mordechai. What is Techelet Mordechai? The clothes of the king were from Techelet, but there is something else Techelet that Mordechai was wearing. On the king's clothes, he was wearing a tzitzit. So everybody saw and understand that the guy on the horse is Mordechai. Birotam Yachad, Techelet Mordechai. They saw the tzitzit. Haman couldn't understand it. But then, that's not the end of the story. Haman goes in the main street, Rodeo Drive of Shushan, all the expensive houses. And from the porch, his daughter is watching and she sees this parade coming in. And she sees what? Haman on the horse and Mordechai taking the horse. That's what she sees. She sees a sack. And she sees the king's clothes. She's sure that her father is on the horse. And Mordechai is taking him around the street. So she goes to the toilet, takes this bucket full with whatever is there, and waits till the parade comes down and throws everything on the head of Haman. Looks up to see who dares to throw on him from his house, and he sees his daughter. His daughter sees suddenly, hey, it's not Mordechai, it's Haman. It's my father. She's so frightened, she falls down and dies. Bye. Now he's running, he finished this parade, he's all full, stinks and everything, and he wants home, he has to go to the Mishteh of Esther. Esther calls him to a Mishteh, he's got to go to the party with Esther. But he wants to go home, and the guards from the palace come to take him to the party. He says, let me wash. You want to wash? The king is waiting for you. No wash, come on. So now we understand why the king in the middle of the party stands up. He couldn't think the stink of Haman. It was stink. The whole place was stank. So they sit, and the king does what? Stink, everything. And then Esther Amalka tells him that Haman of Russia, he wants to kill her people, and she is Jewish, and etc. And the king cannot take all this knowledge, this confession, and he goes out. While he goes out, the Midrash says he sees workers pulling out his trees. He says, what are you doing? He says, Haman ordered us to do this. He says, oh, this chutzpah. Goes in. What does he see now? Haman on the bed with Esther. What? Halikvoshta malkaiti babait? Not enough. You thought that I'm going to honor you with a reward. You honored me with a reward. Not enough that you get rewarded. It's not worth to fight on this. Not enough that you wanted the crown and the clothes of the king. Which now I see where you want. You also want the queen. Suddenly, Charbona, Zachur Latov, this is one of the servants, says, yes, you know, and also the tree is prepared there to hang the one who saved your life in the house of Haman. So now, Hashverosh is really angry. Tlu alav, hang him on. The interesting thing is, that why is Harvona just now talking? Why didn't he talk before? He says, Gam Harvona Zachur Latov. But this thing is going on for a few days. Why didn't he talk before? Why did he wait till the king went out, came in? Because Harvona was a part of the plan. But he knew if he doesn't now shout that the tree is there for Mordechai, if Haman opens his mouth, he's going to be hanged on the tree with Haman. So that's why he quickly says, and the tree is there. He knew. How did he know? He was a part of the plot. The interesting thing is that in the beginning of the Megillah, the king kills his wife, executed his wife because she didn't want Vashti. Now, how did he do it? With no trial. Because normally, even if he's a king, you still have to have a trial. Because Haman of Russia told him, you don't need a trial. You are a king. And you know, if people will hear about what happened here, that the wife doesn't listen to her husband, it's going to be oivavoi in the whole land. Kill her. Says, okay, I agree with you. And killed Vashti. He was sorry about it later. But now, because he, what we call in Hebrew, takdim mishpati, now he had the right, the idea that Haman gave, was now working against who? Against Haman. Also not right. Hang him and finished. And Haman Arasha prepared the tree for whom? For himself. Venafochu. What is Venafochu? Everything is upside down. He and the Tachpasot, why do we disguise ourselves? Like Haman disguised himself. He wanted to, he thought that he can change himself to look like Mordechai. And with this we conclude this lesson, Bezrat Hashem. We say, Chayav inish li besumei bepuraya ad de lo yada ben arur Haman le baruch Mordechai. We should drink till we don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. And yes.
Finish and ask a question.
Okay. So what our sages want us to, why do we need to drink till we don't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai? Because the real truth is, there is no difference. Everything that happens in this world is good. Everything is to take us, Am Israel, and lead us to the right place. Chazal say, "Gdola asarat atabat shel haMelech haChashverosh yoter meHanevuot shel haNeviim." When the Achashverosh took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, this is more important than all the prophets that were bringing prophecy about the destruction that's going to happen and Am Yisrael has to do tshuva. Nobody listened. But when Mordechai, with slowly, Achashverosh took his ring and gave it to Haman, Am Yisrael did tshuva. Gdola asarat atabat yoter minevuatam shel haNeviim. And how is Haman being called? Haman HaRasha, Tzorer HaYehudim. What is Tzorer? Tzores. But in Hebrew, Tzorer is also Tzror.
What?
Tzror is when you take things together. You Tzorer Otam together. In other words, Haman HaRasha made Am Yisrael Pigam together. So is Haman HaRasha good or bad? Very good. That's why you should drink and pour him, because normally we don't see this picture. But when we drink, we start seeing things. So we have to drink in order to see that there is no difference between Haman and Mordechai. The only thing is that whatever God is doing is for our benefits to be good. Yes, thank you.
And what happened to Esther at the end of the story?